What's up, guys? Welcome to the first ever episode 175 of the Kinda Funny Games Cast. That's right. It is the 175th anniversary of this show being a weekly show. Get excited about that, Greg. Get hyped.
I guess I am.
Video games, Greg Miller.
Hey, everybody. It's just one of those choices, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Trying to be a better adult, save money here and there, you know what I mean? Do I spend the $70 on the Spirit Halloween Store Proton Pack replica? Knowing, of course, that I have the amazing light-up, movie-accurate Proton Pack from Tom.
Then why would you need another?
Well, I have backup suits. And so, like, what if you needed to dress up as a Ghostbuster with me for a bit? Eventually, remember that Pokemon Go Ghostbuster knockoff thing's coming. You better bet your ass we're taking the day off to make videos with that shit. Me walking around San Francisco dressed as a Ghostbuster.
You have the $70. You should buy this. Absolutely.
Kevin, you understand. You're my Janine. You're my Janine.
You got to do it, dude.
He's kind of a Janine. I like that. But yeah, buy it, Greg. That's the answer.
Yeah. Dude, always, you couldn't get him at Halloween.
The Reverend Jared Petty.
Glad to be here. I like your kind of like low-key dulcet tones.
All
today.
I got today.
You're very dulcet.
Did you say 174?
I said 175.
Okay. Yeah, you're very NPR today.
Just like, NPR, motherfuckers. Like that's it right there. Shout out to our Patreon producers. Guess what? It's not just Tom Bach. Tom Bach's one of them. But Eric Heitz is joining the party, joining the little whole rigmarole. He's part of it now. How long will he stay? We'll figure it out.
Let's see if you can beat Tom Bach's record of forever.
Of forever.
Eric, if you can do it for 6 months, I personally will draw an image of you and Tom Bach's cat dog.
That's amazing. Would you say that Eric is ascending to the heights of Kind of Funny?
Oh!
That was good.
Tom Bach was the old guy.
Oh,
Steven Insler,
man, Patreon producers. And also shout out to all these beautiful Patreon supporters.
There's their names.
Their names are going to scroll.
It's happening right there.
If you want to be included in that, you can. Just go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. We record this Kind of Funny Games cast every week. You can watch it live for just $1.
Just a buck?
You can get the videos early, like a couple days early. Like you can get it on Friday instead of Monday. It's a great time for everybody. You get a pre-show. Did we talk about dildos a lot? Yeah, we did.
Thanks, Kevin.
That did happen.
In what context? You'll have to find out. You can get this as a podcast on podcast services around the globe. All you got to do is type in Kind of Funny Games Cast. Leave a review. It would be really nice. 5 stars are appreciated. 4, I'll take it. Anything less?
Fuck off.
Just don't talk.
Five is always the appropriate number.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's either
otherwise,
1 or 5.
YouTube.com/Kind of Funny Games. Please subscribe. Please like. Please comment. Please do all the things.
Tim, talk to me about it because I can hear in your voice. It started in, then we got off. You're just tired.
Mm-hmm.
Gia Harris is not respecting your video gaming schedule.
She ain't respecting anything, really.
Wow.
Except her body. She's respecting her body by waking up and going to these damn Orange Theory classes.
What is an Orange Theory? I'm sorry?
It's just
orange,
like,
you glad
it's like
we didn't say exercise?
Okay. I like that.
Cult gyms.
So not like not a delicious Orange Julius. Nothing like that.
No. There's no food involved at all. There's a lot of rowing involved. Really fucking weird shit.
Is she like at a lake?
No, it's like it's weird machines.
She's rowing on the land?
It's been a while.
She goes at 4. Do you wake up and just stay up then?
Yeah, pretty much.
No fucking way.
I'm laying there trying to go back to sleep and I can't stop thinking about Hereditary and it's all dark and I get very scared.
We gotta talk about this.
Every morning I get out of bed
and
I close the door of my bedroom and I lock that door after she leaves.
Wow.
I'm scared.
Why don't you just have her lock you in?
Yeah. No. I'm talking about my bedroom door.
Right. But can't she just like lock it from the other side?
Hey, he's got like 9 hours before he has to do anything else. He can spend the time getting out of bed.
Can't she lock it as she's walking out and just close it behind her?
Now, that's kind of what I meant.
She doesn't respect me, you guys. You're missing a big 100%. Factor here.
Well, not only that, can you even trust her?
Next question.
No. To be fair, why should she?
Next question though, for you, Kevin Coella. Do you have the ability to get us inside Tim's house? So you and I roll up about 4:45, give this motherfucker something to be scared about. You know what I'm saying? We got chains. We're in sheath. Woo!
No, I heard you're watching Hereditary this weekend, right?
Saturday night. Can't wait to watch Hereditary.
I'm going to watch him being visited at the stroke of like midnight 1 and 2 by the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future.
Just
it's
me
like
acting
cool Greg. We're coming by with a big like candle wick on his head.
One final thing about this, and then so what do you got to say about
it? No, I was just going to say, I think I'm also watching it this weekend.
Yeah?
So if you want to meet together and strategize something theme.
Perfect. That's all I know so far.
No, you
got
to Christmas carol this up. You save it to the holiday when he's almost forgotten it. And you come in and you produce like this whole Christmas
carol. One other great point is we have that weird like D-list internet celebrity. Can we get the little girl from Hereditary to come in with us at 4:45 in the morning and really fuck Tim's life?
Y'all are some fucked up motherfuckers. It's been a while since we've done this kind of Funny Games cast show. We were at E3.
Oh, right. E3.
Got to play a whole bunch of video games. We did a episode of Gamescast, the last episode, 174. That was all the games that we played at E3, kind of going through all of those.
Filmed it outside.
It was a fun little something.
I wasn't there, so it's not quite.
So it wasn't quite right.
It's not right. Quite right.
We had Andy.
That's how it works. Andy's good. He's a fair substitute. He's like the aspartame of hosts.
There you go.
It's very true. You know? But we got to play a whole bunch of games like leading into it.
Sure.
That we didn't get to talk about because of E3, including Mario Tennis Aces.
Wahoo!
Let's start there, big guy.
We wouldn't have been able to talk about it, period, though. The embargo just lifted for the Mario Tennis Aces review outside of the preview embargo that was also different. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you. Tim Geddes, Mario Tennis Aces gets announced.
Two games.
I flip out.
Yeah.
So excited for Mario Tennis Aces.
Uh-huh.
Mario Tennis Aces comes to the office. We do this amazing party mode playing IGN. I'm like, the gameplay is fucking awesome.
That's where you became the champ.
That is where I became the champ.
Yeah.
That is where we got the Per Schneider Cup. Get it. You can go get the Interside chair. It's right there, too. Lift it up. Lift it high above your head, Tim. You help bring that championship home. This cup. When we embarrassed IGN.
First ever double champ.
Yeah.
Then they do the online beta tournament test for Mario Tennis. I get on there and just get my teeth kicked in. and then the next day we get a review code. They're like the Monday after the beta ends, right? And everybody's playing it. I look online, Andy Cortez talking about it.
Yeah.
Barrett Courtney talking about it. Other people in the industry, peers talking about it. Everybody's having a great time with this Mario Tennis online. I'm like, yes, it's happening. Next day, we get the copy of the game. I sit down. I put it. I'm like, I come out. I'm like, Andy, we got Mario Tennis. Come play me in Mario Tennis so I can school your ass. Andy just beats me within an inch of my life.
Beautiful.
He played the beta. He knows all these tricks. He knows all these things. You know, and I'm
he knows the slice and
fuck,
dice.
Fuck, dude. Right. You're awesome. I can't wait to play more of the single player and come back and have a shit chance with you. I sit down and start playing the single player, and I am bored to tears and then annoyed as shit with it.
Mm-hmm.
And just to the point of, it's now keep in mind, it's because we can't go online with it yet as of recording and as of the review embargo because servers weren't live or there's just nobody to play unless you're going to set something up, right? It just sapped all my energy to play this game where I was just like, I'm not even going to bother. I'll wait till multiplayer comes out. Wait till we want to do it.
Well, help me with this. So before we went on the show, I haven't played this yet.
Right.
And so that we could talk about it on the show, originally this morning we said, hey, Jared, you play my Switch copy this afternoon. I'll play through. But then when we brought that up, you were playing against a boss.
I'm going to beat this fucking boss.
Now, what I interpreted that as at that point was that you were so into it that you just had to do it.
No.
But that's not what was happening.
Here's the thing is, you know, I always want to be upfront with you, the listeners. /viewer, I'm not that deep into Mario Tennis Aces story mode. I find it to be a mix of boring and frustrating, so I just stopped playing it. It sat my will to play.
I think you're pretty far.
I think I'm there's on the not, second boss, right? There's, but there's like five?
I think there's only like five, so.
When you eventually get it, I'm at the Madame Mirage, right?
Yeah,
from the
Mirage
Mansion. You
move through them pretty quickly, too.
Yeah, you play. But here's the problem, Jared. And it's one of those things of you even playing it, like, why try to get you to play 5 minutes of it and have, you know what I mean? Like,
I think you made the right choice. I was thinking maybe Greg is hooked back in. Maybe
my thought process was
is
that I was like, well, I'm going to do this and just be done with it and see what happens next. But like, I was lucky enough that my knee-jerk reaction to this of like, I'm not having fun, I don't like this, I'd rather play a million other things on my Switch, and then we started playing Fortnite, which we'll get to eventually. It was like, fuck, maybe I was, you know, coming up to review embargo, I was like, man, like, I'm not going to put up a full review of this because I haven't played enough of it to be like, yeah, that's what it is. But I was like, I wonder if I'm wrong. And then all the reviews came out and said the exact same thing.
I had the same experience. Like, yeah, I was playing through it and like, so man, the tennis gameplay is so much fun. I love how deep it is. Yeah. I love the charge shots and being able to have damaged rackets and stuff. Everything that we've seen in all the trailers that was like, oh, wow, they're really trying with this iteration of Mario Tennis. I love all that stuff. I love the characters, the special moves. My boy Koopa Troopa's coming back. Big fan of that.
Woo-hoo.
Rosalina, love playing as her. The story mode, when it first started off, I was like, oh man, this is so cool. I love that it's contextualizing.
Wario
and
Waluigi have gone off and gotten this demon racket or whatever.
Yeah. But it like just it gives you reason to learn the basics of tennis and like kind of go through the different modes that you can play in the game or whatever. But it immediately goes from being a fun kind of RPG-esque take on Mario Tennis, which we've seen before in the Game Boy Color games.
Yeah.
And it just turns into a severe lack of actual tennis.
That's my problem with it.
So what are you doing when you're not playing tennis?
There's all these mini games and challenges and stuff, but it's the thing of like, cool. I just want to play a story mode where I play tennis against these people, right? And it, you know, so what you get is there's an overworld, right? And it kind of like you're going through, and it kind of has, you know, Super Mario World vibes to it, right? Of going dot to dot, and you go into these things of playing these people in tennis, and it's like, okay, cool, and you play them, and it's literally like you being like, man, I love bocce ball, and me being like, I've never played bocce ball, but I challenge you, and so you just beat the shit out of me. Like, are you? These guys don't even know how to fucking play tennis.
So to be analogous here, like if this would be like if I bought a Mortal Kombat game, wanted to play the story mode, was getting ready to fight all the characters, and instead it's like, now play Candy Crush here for a while.
It's more like if you're playing Mortal Kombat and every like. You had to do 4 test your might levels before you can get to a fight. Oh,
no, I don't want that.
And see, it's you play these guys in when you play tennis against these guys, they're just cakewalks. You shut your eyes and beat them. You know what I mean?
So easy.
And then it's like, now you get to this next thing that is a boss or a mini game, and it's like, fuck you, this is going to be hard as hell.
Frustrating, hard fucking thing ever. And I thought it was me. Yeah. And when I was playing, I came into office, I was like, Greg, like, is this game really frustratingly hard in certain places that you like? There'd be boss matches that I play fucking 7 times.
This Mirage, Miss Mirage or Madame Mirage, I've played a lot.
So it's definitely spikes.
I've got it down to I know what I need to do and how to execute. But like today, I just ran out of time playing her because you've got to pinpoint your shot around all the fucking garbage she's holding in front of the mirror, and it's like you cannot. I was just not getting the bounces I needed.
The critical question then, because this sounds awful. Do I have to play through the story mode to unlock everything, or can I just go play the good tennis game arcade style and have fun?
You can just go play the tennis.
I don't have to.
And that's a great game.
Okay, so I don't have to play through the stupid story mode to unlock Chain Chomp.
And that's why we're
to play as Mario.
Yeah, and that's why we're in this weird spot right now with impressions on the game of like, man, I thought I'd be all over this thing on my flights to and from E3, and I played on the way to E3, and then I was just like, I'm not having fun when I get stalled out. And so I haven't played anymore. I'm just waiting for multiplayer to go live. I'll play other people. I'm like, you know, at prom is a week away. Like, I'm going to bring my Switch and play people at prom.
Yeah, it's so interesting because, like, I thought that there was a me problem for a while in the first world going through. I was like, all right, cool. I'm just bad at this. Like, you'll face off against, like, Spike will come and be like, I'm really good at this type of shot, but I'm really bad at this. So it becomes super easy. You know exactly what to do. Yeah. And if you just do the same thing, you win. Then you get to a challenge mode where it's like where the level I'm stuck on right now is in the second world. And there's like a mirror wall in front of you. And there's like these weird, like goopy things that are moving around, and you need to like portals, and you need to hit the ball through the portals. There's way too many phases through it. It's not even a boss fight. It's just like a weird challenge of like,
there's times counting down. You're doing all the stuff. Like that one took me a bunch of tries to get there. And again, people watching, well, Greg and Tim are bad at games. We've seen that in party modes. You have. That's fair.
Yeah.
It was that when we were leaving E3 or when other people were leaving, Jason Schreier is like, sorry, everybody on this plane who's an industry person watching me fucking struggle with this boss. I guess I suck. And I was like, nope, we're in the same boat. He's like, oh, really? And that was my first inkling of like, it's not us. It's not, and then every review has been like, this is just not fun.
What this reminds me of is back in the day when you'd play like either space arcade games or flight sims, and they'd make you do like the formation flying to get to the real game. Do you remember back in the day they used to try to make you do that crap? Sounds like that. Thank God they didn't wall the game off behind it. But still, in a story mode, making challenge levels mandatory, that sounds awful.
There's just so many of them. Like, it's the... they dominate the story mode. Like I'm only 2 worlds in, but in each world, I'd say there's like 6 different levels, and maybe only one of them is actual tennis.
Yeah. And so like,
Even the actual tennis, there's gimmicky weird bullshit going on.
And so it's a weird one for me with this of we got the game and I've been excited for it. And it's like you said, a tale of two games where I was like, oh, okay, cool. And like the single player stuff was such a turnoff to me. And this will be different for you now that you can read reviews and you're doing it, that I just put it aside and do it. And then I was reading, I think it was Jeffrey Grubb's review, or maybe the IGN one. But then they were talking about like, there is the tournament thing where you can just play calm players. And I was like, I guess that maybe I'm just being bitchy. That's what I want. I'm just jumping in and playing.
So I did. I was doing that on my flight back from LA, and I had a ton of fun. Like the game is so solid. It's so good. And I love that it's like tennis is Pong. It's like it's the most basic video game ever.
Yeah.
This really adds so much onto it. And I feel like it's not weird gimmicky shit. Like the charge shots, the power ups, all this stuff. It adds a like Smash
there's strategy to it, and there's a skill to it. Like watching Andy fucking school me when I thought I was like decent, I was like, oh man, like I don't know fucking thing one about this game. But this was my problem. is that what I wanted out of the single player mode was, cool, I'm playing a bunch of dopes at tennis. They're going to teach me how to play other things. And then the difficulty is going to ramp, and I'm going to get to like learning how to do this and how to counter this shot with that shot. And maybe that's in World 4, but I hate the first two worlds so much. Why would I bother doing it? Which then is like, I'm going to have to, what, how does it all work out? Is it going to be then that you go play online and get your teeth kicked in until Andy talks to you, or you talk to your friend, or you watch a video?
But I can play versus comm and not do any of this. Yeah. So I can still play single player. That's good. It sounds to me like what you're describing here is kind of like the sequel to Windjammers I've always wanted. Like that kind of Pong 3.0 feel. Because the fighting game meets...
Exactly. Yeah. And that's definitely... Sold.
Okay, great. Sold.
Yeah, it's weird. I
and that's like, the thing is, like, I feel like we're shitting on it. It's just this one mode that's a huge disappointment.
But it's a huge part of the game.
And I'm like, I'll wait for multiplayer.
The reason I'm so disappointed is I feel like this is the Switch's first major flop from their first party offerings in terms of like just the one mode where it's like, man, like Switch has been so good about like giving us a Zelda we've never seen before, Odyssey being this huge thing, and it's like, oh fuck, this story mode looks like that for Mario Tennis, and it's like, it really wasn't.
And that's the IGN best point.
IGN gave it a 7.5, and I'm like, fuck, that really feels exactly accurate to the experience I've been having. And I feel like if you just took the story mode out and replaced it with something that made a bit more sense.
It's just so stupid. Why am I playing through this? Why am I, like, you're leveling up Mario in story mode only that wouldn't carry over to anything doing. It's like, what's the point of this? Yeah. Like, what am I doing?
Well, if it's not, I mean, if it were fun, you wouldn't need another point.
Exactly. Yeah.
And
that's the thing. And I think they know, right? I think that's might be why they tacked on some of that stuff of like, even when you lose, you get XP. So it's like, even when I'm fucking getting beat, I'm like, oh, great, my defense is going up a little bit.
And that's like a big problem I have is like the 10 times I had to retry one of the levels, I'm just seeing my experience go up and I'm just leveling up. And I'm like, I don't feel any better than I was.
I'm like, not learning anything either.
Definitely not.
You're not teaching me when like the bubbles one was a trial and error of like, fuck, what is the right thing they want me? What is the perfect shot to do it? Like, there's one in there, right, of... earning, you're hitting the ball back to like three different rows of bullseyes. Mm-hmm. Did you get to this one? Or did you do
I
this
think
one?
So.
And then, that one was, again, trial by fire of like, oh, wait, what is, okay, that shot will get back there. Okay, this shot is more for this row. That's helpful. But again,
the piranha plant one?
Yes.
We got to take down all the different piranha
plants. Yeah. I was like, okay, that's a nice mechanism to teach me something. And even the Mirage thing I'm at now, like for a while, my problem was like the blocking. I don't like their block system, but it was that I didn't understand. I didn't understand it. Now that I've wrapped my head around what I want them to do, it's like, okay. And I thought, well, oh, good. I've wrapped my head around blocking. It's taught me blocking. I'm going to be able to beat this. And it's still like, oh, Jesus, it's still going. Even though I know exactly what I need to do and why I'm not getting it done. Like,
frustrating is a really good word to describe the single player challenges.
Well, I'll probably still pick this up when I can.
I think it's still worth picking
up. Dude, it's going to be great for online and great for meetups and great for everything.
The tennis is super fun, and you know, the tennis games are fun inherently, but I feel like this is a very good iteration of one.
Good. Okay, so I'll just ignore that single-player mode and not fool with it. Great. Sure.
So sticking on the Switch here.
Yep.
Fortnite.
Hell yeah.
Got a shadow drop at E3.
Fortnite! For Flapjack!
So Fortnite is... completely taken over this office now.
It's insane,
right? Every day at lunch, me and Nick will go out to lunch. We'll come back. Everyone else is just playing.
Yeah.
Okay. So why are you guys staying out? Why you staying aloof?
We're not into that whole thing, and we like food.
You like food? Food's good. I like food too. Mm-hmm. I forgot to eat lunch today. I'm missing it now.
What's your experience been with this whole Fortnite thing, Greg?
It's awesome. I feel the reason it's clicking now for so many of us is that. I'll speak just for myself, I guess.
It's on the Switch.
Sure.
Say no more, fam.
I mean, true, but it's also the fact that I think the Switch has brought in such a new audience that for once it feels like you're all like neck and neck in terms of knowledge for the most part. We'll be playing and be a squad, and we'll be Kevin, any of us paired up, because usually, it's me, Andy, Kevin, and Joey, right? You pair any of us up, and we're playing enough to be super competitive and come down to the end, but usually what it'll be is you come over a hill, and like you're feeling really good, and then you see they've built a crazy structure, you're like, ah, fuck, they're real players. Fuck, these guys have played a lot before, we're fucked, it's over. You know what I mean? Because we're still learning how to do that kind of shit, okay. And learning how to accomplish that stuff. But the fact that there's like light in there now, and like, I don't know. I mean, it is the power of the Switch, I guess. Just the fact that it's with you anywhere. You know what I mean? Like, before I could have played at my desk, sure, and I could have played with Andy, but then, like, on a PS4. But then to get Joey a PS4, to get Kevin a PS4, to make it simple, to make it easy, to make it like we could go home and do it, but then it's this, that, none of us are that big of online multiplayers. Like,
so much of it's the office. Just sure. That culture that carry it all in, hop in. You're living that old life.
To be able to sit there and be next to each other and scream across the rooms at each other when you're doing something. And it's just, it's a throwback to what I think we all miss from, you know, playing N64 games together, of being around each other and sharing
systems. LAN party era stuff, but without the hassle.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the thing, is it's just so turnkey to make it all work right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's been crazy, I feel, honestly, of like when it looked like it was going to happen, I was like, oh, that makes sense. Yeah, and we'll try it or whatever. And then to download it when we were here, get it, play it. And I was like, I'm going to play it and it'll be a laggy mess and be garbage and the graphics look terrible. You play it and like, yeah, the graphics don't look like PS4, but it's working on Wi-Fi, which I'm like, how is this not like totally garbage?
Yeah. Are you playing crossplay, or is it just on Switch right now?
I have played crossplay with phone users. I have not done it with Xbox.
And that's the crazy thing to me, is that, you know, the Switch port begging gets ridiculous and stuff. But then you see things like this happen where the game comes out and like, oh, now there is so many people that maybe have played a couple times in a party mode or whatever.
Yeah.
But now they're like, we're really giving this thing a shot and living the dream of the Nintendo Switch commercials being real life.
Right.
Yeah. And it's like seeing you when you're at that party and everyone's playing on Switch, Faulkner on his mobile phone.
Karen.
Yeah.
You're finally Karen.
But no, it was the thing of waking up, Saturday at Scott's house and catching up about E3 and everything else and be like, yeah, I've been playing Fortnite and the other thing we're like into. He's like, oh yeah, I've been thinking about getting it. Or he had already gotten on the Switch. I'm like, fuck, you have it? Let's go. He brought out his, I had mine. Jen was like, I'll download it. She downloaded hers. James was like, I don't have my Switch, but I got my phone and I have it on. And we just sat there at a table and played and we were all like,
and nailed it. There we go. That's it. So people are dissecting Fortnite right, left, and sideways in this industry and outside this industry because it's become a cultural phenomenon that far transcends this little corner of hardcore gaming that we work in.
Totally. It's everywhere.
I have friends that work in every field imaginable, friends that are educators. I sat down and was talking to a teacher the other day, and she was describing, you know, lines of boys in her classroom doing synchronized Fortnite taunt dances, like some kind of country line dancing.
The flops, yeah.
Or classrooms where it's just been banned from discussion because it's all the kids will talk about. And that's not teachers being horrible. They're actually trying to educate. But so much of that, I think maybe it's getting lost just how important a free, seamless integration game where you can play with anybody on any device. Have we ever even Minecraft you charged for.
Yeah.
This is a free game that works on anything, that's built to be played with your friends. And for kids, that's like the perfect video game.
Sure. And that was the thing, you know, my butcher, who of course, Bobby the Easter Bunny, you know, from the Kind of Funny Morning Show. I was talking to him a few months, maybe a month ago. I was coming into E3, but he knows what I do. And so he asked me about what's happening in the industry or this, that, the other. And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah. He's like, my nephew, he was telling me about this game, like Fortnite. He's like, yeah. I'm like, I knew exactly. Of course, if it's broken through to you, like from your kid, it's, or from a kid in your family, it's going to be Fortnite. And it makes sense because it's just, it works and it's that easy and it's fun. And it is the arcade experience of just like, one more game. You know what I mean? One more game. Let's just go again.
Ridiculously well-designed game. It's thoughtful, epic. They put together something very quickly that was just right for the right moment, but also high quality. They keep refining it. They've actually accomplished live service, something a lot of companies say they want to do.
Yeah.
They managed to pull it off. I was riding with my Lyft driver at E3, and he's talking about V-Bucks.
Yeah.
He's just like, my kid, V-Bucks. And this for a game that, near as I can tell, there's no appreciable gameplay advantage to spending money on it, right?
You get more XP to level up faster, unlock more cosmetics.
Yeah, it's just cosmetics. Yeah. And that's what we all wanted. There's no pay-to-win formula here. This is just about the perfect video game for our day and time. You talk about coming in here. I'm bringing my Switch next Thursday because I want to play with y'all at lunch now.
And it's the interesting thing of... And this, I mean, obviously I'm a PlayStation fanboy, I'm a PlayStation pony, everybody knows that about me, right? This is the first game where I'm playing it, I'm learning the game, but at the same time learning the Switch, if that makes sense, in the way of like, when we first started playing the first few days, it was so hard of like, all right, I need to hit the Y button to do something. Wait, which one's the Y? You know what I mean? Of like, suddenly having to, like, even in Zelda, where it was like, I'm going to hit, oh, that's not accept, right? That's over here. I was never like, well, A is accept and A is over here. A is in, you know, this, this, you know, the
Y
east.
Y is jump on top.
Right. And so like to be in there now of like, now to find myself learning a game and how to play this game and be better at this game. Because every game I feel more and more confident in what I'm doing and building even. I'm getting there. I'm not there. Yeah. But like I built something to get up there. I was like, oh man, I did that. And it wasn't like totally mind-bending. But the idea of sitting there and being like, not having now to look down at my buttons when it's like, hey, hit X or whatever. You know what I mean? Of like, because X keeps moving around this damn thing. I feel like, or I felt like. Whereas now, and it's even like, you know, LR and LZ. I'm like, what the fuck is that? Oh, just fucking
damn. Andy.
Or RZ and LZ.
You calling in the reinforcements?
Calling in the pro. Yeah, I want his opinion on some things.
All right. Well,
I want Joey too.
Oh, there he is. Here comes the Andy.
Is the shock mic up, Kev? Yeah. Thank you.
My question for you is
Nitro Rifle.
Nitro Rifle himself is here. You played the most Fortnite out of any of us. Mm-hmm. Like we played it for party modes, and that was pretty much it. But then you on your streams and stuff were playing it a lot on PlayStation 4.
PS4, yeah.
Correct. And Greg's talking about how it's like kind of a different experience on the Switch because there's a lot of new players. How have you seen the difference, Ben?
Yeah, it's a lot of people who don't really know how to play yet because this is, a whole new install base. And what I'm assuming is the people, like the Fortnite, the hardcore Fortnite community is going to want to play on PS4 or PC where it's going to run better and smoother and 60 frames per second or higher.
Yeah, and all this stuff.
Yeah. And so on Switch, there's a lot of people who have not only not played, but people like me who are like, "Ooh, this is my opportunity to feel good about myself."
And it's, so, it's JV.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So you're playing in the fucking minor leagues down there, and it's great because I've gotten most of my wins down there. And I'd say there is a noticeable performance drop off in Switch. It isn't anything crazy that would make me want to stop playing. But you definitely notice in larger areas, it's hard to drop at Tilted Towers because it's so big and there's a lot of players around normally and you see a lot of frame drops and shit like that.
Mm. Yeah. Are you still playing on PS4 as well?
Oh, yeah. And it feels so much better when you go back to PS4. It feels good.
Do you notice, is the same kind of frame drops happening on mobile, if you play in the same areas?
I never played on mobile. Okay. Never played on mobile. I've seen Greg play it on mobile. Obviously, they lower down, the model, the textures. They do everything they can to make it run somewhat well.
Yeah.
But it feels so good on Switch with the Pro Controller.
Yeah.
That Pro Controller feels so good. Well, the clicking on the triggers is what I love.
What's been crazy about it for me is I had been saying, when it got announced and when we were, what a great idea. And, play it on the go with the Switch and come home and play it on now Xbox. Back then I was, whatever, your console before we knew of the lockout from PlayStation.
Yeah.
But the other day I came home with it and I was like, oh man, I'm going to play more. And I thought about turning the Xbox and I didn't. I put it in the dock, not to charge, put it in the dock and turned on and played with a Pro Controller, just a Switch version on my big TV. Right. And I was like, fun? Yeah, of course. There's no fun factor to it. It's just I think so many people get caught up in frames per second graphics and all this jazz. I thought that's just what the relationship would naturally be. Whereas I feel like I'm so invested in not only Fortnite now and what Epic Games is doing, but the ecosystem of my Switch, of seeing Altano always on.
Yeah, so, always.
I'll tell you what, having a baby now, you can just play Switch now. But seeing him pop up all the time and seeing that there and having our crew running, it's just like, I don't want to jump over to Xbox because I already feel like I'm in part of this thing now.
So I do have to ask, because I haven't discussed this with you at length, the PlayStation 4 Switch issue.
Sure.
How's it affecting you and your enjoyment of the game?
I think it's not. Okay. I think I'm lucky enough, right? I come from a very privileged spot, and I understand that. I think it's, of course, and I've tweeted and talked about this in the forum. I think it's crazy that they're doing this. I think it's such a tone-deaf move for where we're at in 2018 not to do this. I understand, we were talking about Games Daily, not letting Xbox in. That's fine. They're your real competition. Nintendo's doing its Nintendo thing and is always going to do its Nintendo thing. Why be concerned about this? Why let them off? And so when I said I was in a privileged position, it was that I've always looked at Fortnite and been like, man, that seems like a cool game. But when we play it, or even when I would go home on my own and turn it on PlayStation, I'm just getting destroyed. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what I'm doing and I don't know how to learn. And when you're up against people who have been playing so long, it's just not fun. So I had used... Andrew had given me an Epic account, whatever, get premium access or some shit. I forget what it was. The launch Founders Pack.
Okay.
So I had V-Bucks that I spent on a Battle Pass on PlayStation 4. And then also, I think I gave them some money or vice versa to get an outfit or whatever, right?
Okay.
So my investment was minimal. So when it got announced for Switch, I was like, oh, awesome. All that stuff I already have and the characters I already have, and I'll just bring it over and have one thing and be game over Greggy and everything would be great. And when I couldn't, it was, why are you doing this? What are you talking about? Why? I don't want to create a second. I don't want to, and I kept saying, I don't want to make a throwaway account for my Switch. I don't want to make a non-real Epic account for my Switch.
Okay.
So, but I did, and I started playing it, and then, you know, it was a light switch of like, oh, no, this is my real account. My PlayStation is my throwaway account. This doesn't matter. And I gave them the money. I bought the V-Bucks from them. I, you know, bought my Battle Pass here. I haven't unlocked more, I think, because I had done different things on PlayStation. But this became the real account. And PlayStation froze itself out of getting my money from it. And so maybe one day when we can go back or link them, because I guarantee they'll step down on this. Yeah. Okay, but as I put in both tweets, right, the tweet of, I can't believe you, I don't think this is the right way to do this. And then the tweet that was a follow-up the next week of, I just unlinked my Twitch from my PlayStation version and linked it to Twitch Prime to my Switch account. I just linked my Xbox to my Switch account. I just did all these different things on my Epic account to make this my real one. This is no longer the throwaway. You are. I don't understand your strategy, PlayStation.
No, I we talked about this a little on Games Daily, but this is exactly the wrong time for them to be given this look. We're at the end of a generation, moving into a new hardware generation, the biggest game in the world, locking people out, this makes them look behind, not ahead. They are ahead in every appreciable way, and they're acting in a way that's going to put them behind.
And
I don't get it.
And I can understand the fear. I can understand not wanting to share the money. I can understand.
I can't understand.
But I mean, I can understand it on like literally a black and white level. But to step back and see the picture of where we're at in gaming right now in 2018 and what's happening and how you're being received and what this game is.
That's my problem, Greg, is that at a black and white level, sure, but Sony's businesses games, I love them.
Sure.
I love them. They should know better.
And I feel like I am, and I mean me, Greg Miller, and how I consume and who I am in my PlayStation background, right? That I am the canary in the coal mine for what this problem is in the way of, I just said, right? That I thought I'd come home and turn on my Xbox, blah, blah, blah. And I didn't. And so you could say right there, well, see, Greg, it doesn't matter. You're going to put your money through your Nintendo. My counter argument would be that what happened last night, right, was I came in, I made some more chorizo tacos. I put on Amazon, watched some Rick and Morty or
classic
whatever it was.
Dude.
And I was like, you know what? And I played a different game that's under embargo. And I was like, all right, time for Fortnite. And my PlayStation was on. And if I could have scrolled over to PlayStation on my thing and had all my stuff from my real account, I would have. But instead, I put the PlayStation to sleep and turned on my Switch.
And in 2 years, when it's Xbox next, and there's a whole new generation of hardware, and it's like, yeah, we play nice with Switch
and
with this and whatever the next Fortnite is.
Yeah. And it's also like, think about what the thing, in just in my living room alone, and just for me, and I know that I'm an outlier, I'm a different case study than most people probably. But up until right around now, my Switch is my handheld.
Mm-hmm.
I don't play it on the TV. I played some Odyssey and some Zelda on TV, but mainly it was on planes and hanging out around here, right? Like, now I'm going home every night, plugging in, taking the Pro Controller out of my bag and tossing it onto the coffee table because I know I'm about to turn it on. They're losing screen time on the only screen they have.
Yeah.
They used to have that screen on their own with the exception of an Xbox exclusive or the rarity I wanted to do here. Now they have totally given up all of that ground with me. And you might say, you're one person, Greg, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's true, but I'm also the guy who's talking about his fucking trophy count and doing all these different things.
You are the most Sony human being I know that doesn't work at Sony.
And so that's that's why I feel like the public outcry and the mainstream coverage of this being like, I don't know, like they're going to back off on this. It's just back off sooner rather than later and fix this.
Yeah, don't wait.
Joey, sorry, I didn't mean to yell at you. I just didn't want you to have to yell again to get you back
in here.
So you're playing Fortnite now.
Yes,
I am. You've never played Fortnite before this?
I played a little bit. I have like a PSN account that I think I got to like level 4 on.
Okay.
So like,
what happened for you? Because when I got bit, I was surprised. When the bug got me, I'm like, holy shit. Because it literally is that thing of, can we end the day? Can we go do this? I want to go play this game. Or like, is it lunch yet? Can we play the game?
Today
we get the lunch break. It's horrible. It's monstrous.
It was really awful today.
What happened for you?
I like watching Battle Royales. It honestly started when Andy started streaming them and I started watching him because I'm like, these are interesting. I liked kind of what Radical Heights was doing before.
Oh, yeah.
All of those servers.
Rest in peace.
Will be up. Yeah. But I was like, oh, this is kind of fun and interesting. Not my kind of game. Not really one that I'm good at. But it looked fun. And then we got V-Bucks from E3. And then I was like, okay, well, maybe I'll buy the battle tiers and stuff like that. And then I found a crew of people to play with of you guys here and like so many people.
Beasley at night. I saw, and that was the other thing too. I saw her tweet that I think you probably retweeted or whatever. Yeah. Or do I follow her? I forget. She's extra life captain, so maybe I do.
Now, Joey, can you help me understand something if you don't mind?
I'm in the middle of a story, sir.
I apologize.
Sir. But it was her saying like, oh, you know, oh, I'm going to play one more game on Xbox and sign off. And she did. And she went to bed and she was like, picked up the Switch. And like, where are we dropping, boys?
Well,
like,
yeah. Well, she's really mad because she can't play on her Switch. So she's either locked because she's put in so much money on her PC and Xbox account that she's like, I'm not going to drop it. Or in her PlayStation.
I'm so sorry to interrupt you.
Now I'm interrupting Joey. I'm just going to keep
apologizing. What is so fucking important, Jared Patty?
Nothing at all. I just thought you were done with the story earlier.
Nah, it's fine.
I apologize. I thought that was the
end. Where are you going, though? What do you got? You were going to ask Joey something?
Oh, no. It's gonna the V-Bucks. Both you and Greg mentioned getting the V-Bucks and not leading you in. Why was that what pushed you over the edge? Because, I mean, this is a free game, so why did the V-Bucks make the difference?
I wanted to look cool.
Yeah. So for me, it's... Oh, I'm sorry. Well, can I answer this question? For me, it's the same thing I talk about with DLCs usually. The way I treat a game I get for review. Oh, man, I'm playing this game, and I love it. You guys have a DLC? Sure. I don't know if I'll ever get it. You have a season pass? I don't know if I'll ever get it, but I want to make sure I reward you. Mm-hmm. Witcher, Division, the list goes on and on. And so for me... With Fortnite, and this is when it was on PS4, and then again here, where it was on PS4, it was, man, I've played 5 matches or whatever, and I've had a great time, and I've invested nothing. And they're selling the white camo female outfit, like the Arctic, and I was like, she looks cool. It kind of looks like Diana Prince when she wasn't Wonder Woman anymore, but she was just Diana. I'm like, I'll buy that. And so I gave, and for me, it is, I'm going to give you this money to show you're doing a good job.
I love you going 70s Wonder Woman on us. That's awesome.
And so here, I wish that was the outfit. Damn. So it's the same thing here where I was like, I'm having such a great time. You've earned this money. You've earned the $10. And I'm, the way they reward you with Battle Pass and the way, like we were talking about as PUBG and Rocket League start doing their thing. Mm-hmm. Hey, look at all this cool shit I'm close to unlocking. Yep. Wow, this is a motivation for me to keep going. And then even the little challenges where...
The weekly ones?
Like what we hate about Mario Tennis, right? Is like, even when I'm losing in Fortnite and you know we have a terrible game, it's still, well, I got some assault rifle kills. Well, I played this. I have all these progression bars of how many games I've played. I found the N in spell Fortnite. All right, cool. Like, little things that keep me motivated to where Victory Royale isn't the only thing I'm trying to do.
Yeah. Okay. So all of that kind of falls into the question I have, which is Fortnite. I've played it a couple times. I understand it's a battle royale game. V-Bucks.
It's their currency.
Game Pass or whatever.
Battle Pass.
Like,
yeah.
What are all these things? And when you're talking about leveling up, is it kind of like Kevin, is it kind of like Disney Emoji Blitz with like missions and shit?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's like a mobile gamization of it all where it's like...
Where it's like... Three-starring things? Exactly. There's like, to move up to the next level, you need 10 stars.
And here's how you can earn stars.
Yeah, you can get 3 stars by shotgunning several, like 5 people.
And so then the levels aren't tied to any type of stats or anything.
With the levels, if you have like the standard one, every like I want to say like 5 or maybe 6 levels.
So you're the free one. You're talking about the free one. Yeah, because you can do it. Yeah, you can play for free, obviously, and then you still unlock shit for free too.
You get, but like it's they're not great, so you really have to grind with that. But when you do the battle pass, the premium battle pass, you get like every level you're getting something, and like every like 5 there's something really cool and like. Where I'm looking down and I'm like, oh.
You'll get new emotes. You'll get tags to put on the walls and stuff. Mm-hmm. You'll you'll earn XP boosters. So you're actually going faster up the ranks. You'll earn costumes eventually, stuff like that.
So they're doing it right. They're not selling a bit of gameplay and they're selling a ton of things you want to have.
100%.
What I like about the Battle Pass too is if you max it out at 100, you earn enough V-Bucks to buy the next season's Battle Pass. So you don't, if you play it smart, you don't have to put in any more money than your original investment.
Interesting. So these seasons, how does that look?
Andy would know more. Are they 30 or 60 days? I forget. Or is it longer than
60 days?
60 days, yeah. Well, I think we have 30 or less than 30 now left.
There's like 18 or something like that in the current season.
Yeah.
What's the pitch on seasons?
The season that they will sometimes change what the world looks like and does. So they might destroy a certain area. Like, there was a lot of rumors coming into season 4 that Tilted Towers was going to get destroyed by a big asteroid, when really it hit this area called Dusty Divot. And so they'll add different little things to the world. Like, there are these rocks that you can pick up that are like some alien pieces of meteorite that help you jump really high and shit like that. It's an interesting, smart way to sort of change the world without giving you a new level. Yeah. So they'll create new areas to play in. Right now, there's like a soccer field that was never there.
Yeah.
They'll modify certain buildings and things like that. But with the seasons, you get... They have like sort of their roster of new costumes and new skins.
And that's the thing where every season comes with its own battle pass. So that like even right now, like right, you can look through mine or whatever. And this is what Kevin's talking about. That's the free one up there. You see how there's only a few things.
Yeah.
Whereas my premium one, I'm unlocking something every time. Right?
How much is a battle pass?
$10. Right?
$10 per season.
$950 V-Bucks, which I think equates out to 10, right?
Yeah. And then you can upgrade it to the higher end one for like 25.
Oh, what's the higher end one get you? Just even quicker.
The higher end one gets you more unlocks immediately,
and it moves you to level 25, so you get all the rewards from under level 25.
Smart business.
Yeah.
I want to play like the old story of the karate master that like just keeps the white belt through his entire career, like 80 years old.
You just keep the standard one
and just walk around in the same skin. What they call Uber master?
I've started
to
learn. You know, I've done the. I remember a long time ago. I forget what game I was talking about getting into. You're like, well, have you subscribed to the subreddit yet? Because you know that's like my test of like, I'm subscribed now to Fortnite, obviously. There's like a whole, there's a term for that of like catfishing where you're wearing the default skin so everybody thinks you're like terrible, but actually you know, you've been playing forever or whatever. I forget what they call it.
No, yeah, I mean, it's a game changer on Switch. Like now when I go to my girlfriend's house, I don't take my PS4 anymore. Like I just have the Switch there and pop it in the dock. And I bought the USB little thing with the Ethernet, so I have way better connection, and like I'm all about it now. It's so cool just bringing it to work. And
yeah,
at home I'll play on PS4 on stream or whatever, but wherever I go I'm taking the Switch to just fuck around with you guys.
And that's right. And that's, I mean, like if it wasn't for this, you know, the barrier between Switch and PS4, I think his ecosystem wouldn't change much, where he'd still stream probably on PlayStation 4. It would just be the unified connection. Like, yeah.
And I'd be leveling on each account towards the same thing.
Right.
And
that's the thing about it. Where in like, you know,
it's similar in Overwatch, where on like people ask me, oh, what's your skill rating or what's your level on in Overwatch? It's like, okay, well, I'm a level 45 on Xbox. I'm a 62 on PS4 and a 22 on PC. Like Overwatch has the same problem, where I would love for them to unify everything, where it's like, yeah, I don't need crossplay, but I would love cross progression for sure.
But the difference is that Overwatch wasn't designed to be a super crossplay experience.
And it was
Fortnite
not.
Battle Royale was obviously from the beginning intended.
Yeah,
to,
this
to
is
be
something Andrea
and
I were talking about on Kind of Funny Games Daily, right? Of like, she's like, well, you know, like in Rainbow Six or whatever, you don't have your progress everywhere. And I'm like, sure, but like, Fortnite's already broken down the walls. We can't sit here and be like, well, historically, this wouldn't matter or count to anything. That's great. But like, guess what? I'm already playing on PlayStation 4, PC, mobile, and PS4 mobile and PC together.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's already there. And I think up until... I don't think... Oh, God. It's just... And we could talk forever. We could just go. It's
and by
just,
the way, before we move on...
Yeah.
Sorry about interrupting you and Joey earlier. I had a Gary Whitta adrift. Just kind of was like, I'm going, and then back. Just
yeah.
Like away, and then
like
back
that.
Again.
Okay,
so Jared,
drift.
You have a whole list of games that you've been playing over the last couple weeks. So we're going to get the quick impressions
just
from
flying
you.
Flying through them here. I was like, Tim, I can't do a classic Jared rant here. We just got to move. Now, if you guys want to interrupt and ask about any of them, go ahead.
We will. Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Collection.
This game is great. I really love it. It's 12 Street Fighter arcade games from Street Fighter 1 all the way through Alpha 3. Fantastic emulation. Great video games. Just these pixel perfect ports. They're wonderful. I love it. There's all this TLC in them. Down to like, they have like arcade cabinets that you could take 8 switches and it'll function in 8-player tournament mode.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's fantastic. But it's a spectacular game to the point that I'm probably going to buy a giant Hori fighting stick that's bigger than my Switch to play this on Switch now. Well, I really like the Switch port.
Paddlebox.
Paddlebox. I don't know if I ever... Oh, sorry, my apologies, everybody.
Paddlebox is weird. I like it. Paddlebox is a game
you don't say
about a pigeon with a human body that punches things. He's a boxer. It feels kind of like Punch Out. Has very similar controls, but it's also an adventure game. So sometimes you're punching and playing Punch Out style puzzles, and then sometimes you're wandering around solving mysteries in a 3D space as a pigeon with boxing gloves. There are things about it I don't like. I think there's a little too much of the run around and smash these things now stuff that I don't really enjoy. Mm. It drags a little sometimes, but it's really clever, and it makes up for some flaws with a beautiful art style, great storytelling style, and some really interesting gameplay. I like Paddlebox. I'm having fun with it.
Okay. West of Loathing.
Yeah, Greg Miller's in on this one. That's right.
We talked about this a little bit.
Yeah, West of Loathing is a traditional RPG, but features stick figures in a Western setting. It's great. It's a very well put together RPG fundamentally, but what makes it marvelous is that it's funny. And very few video games are really funny. West of Loathing, Greg, I think you'd agree.
Hilarious.
Genuinely hilarious game. Yeah, so yeah. Why are you enjoying it?
Same reasons you are. You know, I was surprised. Oh, geez. Two packs ago to walk into the Indie Mega Booth, find this game, start playing it, and it's, you know, stick figures. And it was like, okay, cool. And you start getting into it, and you're like, oh, man, it's really funny. Can it be? And you like, interact with the people, and they're fun. And, like, when it dropped, I jumped in and played, I don't know, an hour or two or whatever, and dug it. And then we got sidetracked by Aces and now Fortnite and a million other things. But, like, it's just interesting. It's, yeah. It is an RPG, but it's such a throwback because it's text-based and you're sitting there as a stick figure walking around and they just inundate you with text.
Yeah,
they do. And it's like reading a story or reading a book that you're, you know, making the choices, obviously, being an actual character in.
But it's really good text.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Yeah,
amusing. Yeah. It's really put together. And that's what makes it is so enjoyable.
I mean, you want the Greg seal approval on it, right? Is that I took screenshots of it and I thought the text was so funny. I have West of Loathing screenshots on here.
I started playing it for Red Dead Radio because it's a Western themed game and I'm really into it. So that's another one.
Next up, we got Donkey Kong. What is it?
OG Donkey Kong. All right. Please don't turn off the recording yet. So there's some behind the scenes right stuff that I'm not going to go into here. But Nintendo has not been able to easily publish the original Donkey Kong since creating the arcade cabinet for the original Donkey Kong. Effectively, and I could be making some mistakes here, Nintendo designed the game. Miyamoto designed the game. But they subcontracted out the coding.
Yeah.
So Nintendo didn't completely own their own arcade version of Donkey Kong. I hope I'm reflecting that correctly. So they've been able to port it, the NES port, lots of other ports and everything. They've been able to license it out. But finally, on Switch, somebody behind the scenes solved that deal, and you can now play the original arcade Donkey Kong, which is very different than pretty much every other version of Donkey Kong you've ever played, on your Switch. Historically, that's important because Donkey Kong is one of the most important video games in history, but it's also a great video game, and the arcade version is the best, most fun, and good Lord, the most challenging version. That game is so hard. Donkey Kong is ridiculously difficult. But also, for a modern gamer, because of that difficulty curve, and because there's more variety than a lot of old games, it's also very rewarding and sustaining. I think that Switch port's marvelous. Have you played it at all?
No.
I really recommend you grab that one. It's an Arcade Archives NES or Arcade Archives Switch title.
What I thought was cool about it, and it's also true for the next game we're going to talk about, is I was on the eShop and I looked at it, and Donkey Kong, the arcade game, is a very vertical screen, and you can play on the Switch.
Yeah, turn it up and play
that. Oh, nice.
So it takes up the whole thing.
Yeah, I've been really playing it horizontally, cool. But it has that ability in it because it's had that vertical screen that makes it. And it's just, Donkey Kong is just about near the perfect video game. I mean, the difficulty curve is ridiculous, but it's wonderful.
It's no Patapon.
So next up, we got Ikaruga.
Okay, Ikaruga! Yeah, we talked about this before it came out. We never actually talked about it after it came out on Gamescast. Greg, you're a fan of Ikaruga, right?
I sure am.
Okay, can you...
Another one I downloaded and have... I played, like, the first level, and I was like, it's another one. Oh, I can rotate it. And I was like, wait, like, bending your brain. Once you put it in a rotate mode, the buttons don't change, but they should. It's like,
what do I do?
It's a shmup, man. It's a great shmup.
Yeah, people don't play a lot of shmups anymore. Ikaruga is a genuinely great shmup. It's kind of a chill shmup.
That's a great way of putting it, yeah.
Yeah, because here's the gimmick. It's really simple. You can switch your ship at will between white and black mode. You just phase to one to the other. All your enemies are either white or black. If you get hit by the opposite color, you die instantly. But if you get hit by the color you're the same as, it powers you up. So instead of just dodging shots constantly, you're grabbing power-ups from your friendly color and then switching to dodge shots and then powering back up again and constantly changing phase and dodging around bullet hell. And oh, it's beautiful. It's two player.
Yeah.
Tim, do you like Ikaruga?
I love it. Love it. I haven't got it on Switch yet. I can't wait to. But yeah, I was playing Mario Tennis, but it feels like a perfect game for the Switch to just jump into.
It is. And it's a very modern game. Even though it's an old game, it feels modern. If somebody made this year, we'd be talking about this innovative new indie title and talking about how cool it is.
Steal everybody's hearts if this came out this year.
Yeah, if it came out this year, we'd all be like, wow, game of the year contender. Wow. And because it's old, we're not doing that. But it is, like I said, can you elaborate on the chill thing? Like, I'm trying to figure out how to put that into words.
No, I mean, you think bullet hell and you think I'm getting chased off the screen. Stress. It's rubbing me in my face. Yeah, like that. But the ability to change it makes it not a rhythm game, but almost a rhythm. There is a flow to Ikaruga as you go between things, right? As you phase between different enemies and get powered up to then go attack the other ones but dodge. And it's like, sure, eventually it gets like, you got to actually do it. But like, there's a vibe to it that isn't Galaga. It isn't like, you know what I mean, running through and like moving super fast and having to dot. It's not pixel perfect and all this jazz.
No, you've got all, you're actually, your hitbox is very small, which is nice. It's very forgiving in that regard. It's a treasure game. After Radiant Silver Gun, which is also a treasure game, it's one of the best shooters ever. Also, if you ever get a chance to watch like YouTube videos of people playing Ikaruga controlling both ships by themselves.
Wow.
That's amazing. Like, watch somebody fucking finish it. Kevin was laughing. What was that, Kevin?
I think he sneezed.
Oh, he sneezed. It wasn't a laugh. It was a sneeze.
It was funny. Songbringer is the next one.
Yeah, so Songbringer, we talked about in here just a little bit a few weeks ago. Somebody sent the code over.
Yeah.
You expressed some interest in this, Greg. What do you know about it?
Nothing. I forget. We talked. It was that thing where it's like, you know, there's a million games coming out, a million indies too. Whereas somebody years ago told me, look out for this game. It's great. Mm-hmm. And then you pitched it to me again, and I already forgot what it is. Why do I care about Songbringer?
Okay. It's a Link to the Past-like.
Okay.
It's this beautiful art style, and everybody says beautiful art style and unique, but people are getting... every time we think we've seen everything we're going to see in video game art, somebody comes up with something else.
Yeah.
It's not quite pixel art, and it's not quite holographic. It's its own thing.
Okay.
And it's really lovely, great music, great sound, but you're playing a kind of like, it feels almost like playing like a Game Boy Zelda game on your Switch,
sure,
but really beautiful. And Link to the Past type influences. And that's really it. It's not trying to be much more. It has randomized level design or pseudo randomized level design, so that it's not the same every time you play it, but it doesn't feel haphazard. It's possible to get more difficult scenarios than others, but I haven't seen anything that's really like strangely aberrational at all. It always feels consistent, so I played it. I want to encourage people to go out and try Songbringer. It really deserves an audience, and there's so many games right now, but it's not particularly expensive. It's a great single-player game. It's a really fun game, especially on Switch. It just seems made for that platform, that kind of like up there intimate experience. Tim, you played it at all?
No.
Okay, I
just looked at images of it. It looks dope as fuck.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It really is gorgeous. When you're first watching like the story screen, you'll be like, what's the big deal? And then when you actually see the game, that's where it starts to look like, oh, man.
We got three more for you. Mega Man 11.
Yeah, but just played that at E3 and played the demo. It's great. Mega Man 11's videos do not convey how Mega Man 11 feels. When you look at it, it's like, this is kind of like a cartoony, loose-looking game. Is that how you felt?
I do not like the look of it at all. I understand that, like, you know, it's harder to do pixel art and it's harder to do hand-drawn type stuff. I hate the, like, 2.5D look. That's, like, the new Super Mario Brothers look.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Okay, so did you play it at E3?
No, I didn't.
Up close, it doesn't look like that nearly as like I thought. It looks much more like hand-drawn 2D in action in front of you than it does in what they've shown so far. Mm. So that was one. It's colorful. It pops. Everything is very clearly defined in the game. Like when you're on the screen, there's no like, oh, is that background? Is that foreground? It looks drawn. And I like, because you lose some of that in 2.5D. Second, it is a Mega Man game that understands what makes Mega Man great, but it also innovates. It adds new mechanics to Mega Man.
Tell me about that.
Good.
Because I forget who, one of our peers, I want to say Schreier, but maybe it was somebody else, tweeted at E3, maybe Klevick, that it was like, man, this is the Mega Man I always wanted.
Yep.
What does that mean? Because Mega Man, for me, I've always tried to get into it. I'm just like, it's too heavy. I just feel, no.
Okay, so they add two mechanics to the game, very simple ones, with cooldown meters for each. One is a time slow. The other is a super shot, not a charge shot like you normally do, but like an overdrive for your regular shots. The time stop is great because if you're not good at Mega Man, it allows you to get through some of those really frustrating parts and still feel like you're playing a challenging video game without babying it down.
Gotcha.
But it also is an instrumental part of new puzzles. So it's not just tacked on to make things easier.
Okay.
They find really clever mechanical ways to make it essential to the game that let them do stuff they could never do before and design new kinds of challenges. And if you're really good at Mega Man, you can use it to totally game the system and try really awesome things, which I played around with a little bit in that demo. I'm not great at Mega Man, but I know my way around it. Second, the overcharge shot, what it allows you to do is the charge shot, the old one, kind of slowed Mega Man down, which was one of my criticisms of it. This allows you to move much more quickly and not make Mega Man feel quite as slowed down as he did in the later games.
Gotcha.
And still have the ability to selectively do more damage. Uh-huh. And your bosses that you fight against, they counter with similar abilities. So you fight them in, you know, kind of the traditional boss phases, but they're using, you know, I fought a guy who I have time slow. Well, he has time speed. So suddenly there's a new way to use my mechanic that didn't exist. I loved the demo of Mega Man 11.
That's great.
Yeah.
When's it coming out?
I don't remember.
Okay. I'll check. I got a computer.
Yeah, I really enjoyed Mega Man 11.
Next up, we got Resident Evil 2 Remake.
Oh, my God.
How did this turn out well?
I don't know, man. And it's fucking awesome.
It is. You played it then.
Yeah. Okay. Let's play the demo. It's awesome because it's the thing that you always want from a remake.
October 2nd.
It's the thing you always want from a remake of an old game where it plays and looks how you remember the old game looking.
Yep.
And I feel like it was such a wise decision for them to go with the Resident Evil 4 style.
Yep.
Over the shoulder cam for RE2. Because who knows? Like, there was a worry they were going to just keep the tank controls and keep it fucking awkward as hell. And I don't know that like first person would have made sense for Resident Evil 2.
I think what they did worked really well because those levels are very at least the levels in the slice that I played are very carefully designed so that what they did was they still made it feel claustrophobic.
Totally.
One zombie in that dark felt like a threat, but I could still tell what was going on. It wasn't like Doom 3, like, oh Lord, what's happening? Mm-hmm. Like, but I was scared. And a lot of that was very clever placement of the corridors, the hallways where zombies popped out. I loved that slice. It felt like the best parts of what I remember from RE2. I've gone back and played RE2. It's a great game with a lot of problems.
Yeah.
But it seems like they've stole the best inspirations from it. Greg, did you play it?
No.
Okay.
I'm the more I hear people talk about it, the more excited I get.
Yeah.
Because I've always said that RE1 and especially RE2 on original PlayStation, I should have been the biggest fan of. Because like zombies are my favorite horror movie. And back then when I first got the PS1 and sat down and I got it late in the generation, I was like super into zombie DVDs, right? Because I had the PlayStation 2. I was about to get the PlayStation 2, that doesn't make sense. But I was into zombie movies. I was super... Oh, that was it. My friend Jason's dad had the DVD player. Doesn't matter.
Okay.
I should have been all about it. I was so excited. I got it. It happens in a city. This is great. And the controls were such a turnoff to me that I just could never get into the game.
Yeah, the controls feel good in this. They really do feel RE4 style.
The way people talk about it in the demo that Tim saw, the trailer we all saw, I'm like, perfect. Yep, get me that and I'll take that.
It's coming soon, man.
January.
Right? Yep. Like, that's so fucking awesome. They're doing great work out there. And between that and Devil May Cry 5, I'm just like, man, Capcom had such a, and Mega Man 11 even, such a turnaround in the last like 2 years.
Street
like,
Fighter Anniversary is great.
All honestly. Starting with the Monster Hunter World, like just kind of getting out, and RE7.
Yeah.
Nuts, man. I'm very happy to see a good Capcom coming back.
Well done, Capcom.
Yeah, since RE7, I think that started it. And then they've owned that spring part. Yeah.
So much.
Remember when there was a rumor that they might get sold and we were all like, we can believe it?
Yeah.
They don't make good games anymore,
what
right?
What a fucking turnaround. And then finally, Dragon Quest XI.
Yeah, this was a really personally a big deal for me. I got to talk some with the development team, which was really exciting because these are people that grew up playing Dragon Quest games. And now they're making Dragon Quest games. And they had like this starry-eyed wonder about what they were doing. It was really, really cool. But the game itself is a delight. It's console-based. It's going to be PC and PS4 to start, coming to Switch later. And I got to play the build for console PC targeting. And you played Dragon Quest game?
No.
Either of you?
Oh, well, Dragon Quest Builders. Really. What up?
Yeah.
Hey, Vita lives.
Dragon Quest Builders, all right.
Yeah.
I like
that
game. Yeah, totally.
I played... one of the Game Boy Dragon Quest games that was Pokemon styled.
There Joker
was two versions.
Dragon
of
Quest
it.
Joker.
Was that what it was?
Yeah. It's Dragon Quest Joker and Joker 2 that feel like Pokemon. Mm. Absolutely.
Mm.
They might have been called Joker over here. I can't.
Yeah,
remember.
Yeah, I don't think they were. Okay. That doesn't ring a bell.
But they anyway, have a. There's those. A Pokemon style one. Yeah. So the mainline Dragon Quest games are all good. At least some of them are great. Dragon Quest V is a top 10 all time RPG, hands down. Dragon Quest IX is brilliant. There's several other really good ones. 11 is the return to single-player focus for them. Dragon Quest IX was multiplayer-oriented. Dragon Quest X was an MMO. Dragon Quest XI. For the first time in like a decade, they are going back to single player. They're obviously targeting nostalgia for people in Japan who like, because Dragon Quest, it is impossible to overstate how big a deal Dragon Quest is in Japan. It is as well known in Japan among people that do and don't play games as Fortnite is here in terms of like popular culture permeation. You turn on Japanese TV, Yuji Horii is on every other show acting as a commentator on a variety show. The Dragon Quest music is playing in the background of commercials. You walk into like a grocery store and it's playing out of a CD player in the corner. It is just so part of life there. Yeah, and it helped create like what Mario did for the NES over here, Dragon Quest III did for the Famicom in Japan. It's that beloved. And
that's awesome.
It's culturally permeant. And some of the beautiful Akira Toriyama character design. And yeah, well, anyway, 11 looks dope. It looks, and people are going to be like, well, that's just a JRPG. No, that is the mistake. It is the JRPG. Mm. The other things are aping this. This isn't tropey. The other things are pulling out of what this built. This created those. But instead of like leaning into the whole fan service, it's just this super clean, super sweet, streamlined, content-rich, story-oriented RPG. That's what Dragon Quest games do, and this one looks spectacular. Cannot wait to play it.
This episode of the Kinda Funny Games Cast is brought to you by Blue Apron. Blue Apron, Greg.
Blue Apes!
Guess what they're doing? They're teaming up with best-selling cookbook author
Chrissy Teigen
to bring you some of her favorite recipes to make at home. Get ready for 6 weeks of wildly fun, flavorful cooking featuring recipes like garlic and soy glazed shrimp with charred broccoli and hot green pepper sauce and sesame chicken noodles with bok choy. All this sounds like some Greg Miller stuff.
It is very much. I got my box last night.
Blue Apron delivers fresh pre-portioned ingredients and step-by-step recipes right to your door that can be cooked in under 45 minutes. The menu changes every week based on what's in season and designed by Blue Apron's in-house culinary team.
Would you like to know what I got in my box last night? Shrimp tacos.
Ooh.
I was told specifically by my wife, who was out of town last night, do not cook these without her.
Ah.
Pasta primavera, and then Korean-style beef with sesame, bok choy, and marinated carrots.
That sounds so good. You can check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free at blueapron.com/gamescast. That's blueapron.com/gamescast to get your first three meals free. Blue Apron, a better way to cook now with Chrissy Teigen. I love it. Yeah. Best collaboration of all time.
We've got to get famous enough that I can have my own Blue Apron box.
Yes.
Oh, I love that.
A cooking with Greggy box. I understand what's the problem.
I like that idea.
It could be wings. They do that a lot.
This episode is also brought to you by Hims. 66% of men lose their hair by age 35. How old are you, Jared?
Over age 35.
Okay. The thing is, when you start to notice hair loss, it's too late. ForHims.com is a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness for men. Andy and Nick have both been using these products. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. There are well-known generic equivalents to name-brand prescriptions to help you keep your hair. There's no waiting room, no awkward doctor visits or anything. It's super easy. You just answer a few quick questions online. A doctor will review and you prescribe you what you need, and products are shipped directly to your door. They could not make this easier people to do. But yeah, like I said, Andy and Nick have been seeing good results using this themselves. And you can order now. Listeners can get a trial month of Hims for just $5 right now while supplies last. You can see the website for details. It would cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or a pharmacy. You can go to forhims.com/gamescast. That's forhims.com/gamescast. Forhims.com/gamescast.
A better way to grow hair.
Better way to grow your hair. All right, now we're going to get to the topic of the show. A couple weeks ago, before E3, we did our official predictions and bets.
Cheers!
Going into the show. And I forgot the name of the best friend out
2020
there.
SE.
That's what it was. 2020 SE made a beautiful website you can go to. Kindoffunny.com/predictions.
Right.
Now, website. I haven't gone and looked since he originally put it up because I didn't want to know which of us won, and I still don't know.
Well, what happened was he was trying to keep up and, you know, give us all the points as we go, and he did a great job with it, but I had some bones to pick.
Oh,
with how he was giving the points out.
Okay.
So I thought it'd be fun for us to have a discussion, go through it ourselves, and we will be our own greatest judges.
Oh, okay. My gosh.
So, is he ready to update the website? Is he going to update it or not?
What?
He zeroed it out.
Yeah, everything's zero.
Everything's zero again. All right.
He heard, he understood.
All right. All right.
We're going to go through.
Oh, in 2020 SC's name is Sean Elworthy.
Sean
Elworthy. My apologies.
It's so beautiful what he did. That was really well done.
It was
dope. What a nice young man.
Yeah, indeed.
So we're going to start with third party.
Bam, bam, ba-dun-dun.
Greg Miller has five predictions. One, a new Fallout mobile game announced, released immediately, and ties into Fallout 76 progression. 0 points.
That did not happen. But it should have.
I mean, Fallout Fellstar came to PlayStation. I'm just saying. Am I lobbying? Am I lobbying for a point? I mean, that's a new. It's new to me.
But it's new to me on PlayStation.
Yeah, I think that works. If you got a Skyrim, if you got a new Skyrim mobile game, you would have been.
You could.
You could have had Elder Scrolls Blades.
The Division 2 is set in London.
Big whiff on that one.
That did not happen.
It felt like it could have.
It felt like it felt strong, and then a lot of kids got really not a lot. Two or three kids got salty afterwards of like. It's the division of like Homeland Security. Why would it be in London? That's it. And I was like, you're right. There's no way in a global pandemic two countries would work together or that any writer in the entire world could send somebody there. But it was a good point that I should have been like, man, it's probably going to be America.
Probably
and then where would I go? What's another big city? I didn't expect Washington for sure.
Huh? Really?
Yeah. I would have thought, you know, oh, we did it in New York. Let's get to the West Coast. Let's go to LA, California, something like that.
Designer in Washington's, it makes a lot of sense for games because Washington, you can't have buildings taller than the Washington Monument.
Well, so I mean, it makes such good sense for the division. This game about like you are a division, and like what happens when the government falls. Can't wait for that game.
Yeah.
This Fortnite thing caught me off guard because me, Kevin, and Andy were supposed to be out there getting shields in Division 1 for Division 2, but here we are obsessed with Fortnite.
The Rock will be announced in a game. Not this year.
I'm going to keep predicting. I'm going to keep predicting it till it happens.
That's absolutely happening.
EA talks Madden Longshot success and debuts trailer for the new story mode. Not as cool, but still a big name actor in it.
Womp, womp, womp.
And finally, Avengers trailer at Square Show. No gameplay, but confirms some characters.
I really thought that was a shoo-in.
Me too.
Not their Square Show sure was a thing to behold. Something.
God, man.
That was amazing.
Amazing.
That was something to see.
Jared Petty's five third-party predictions. One, Square announces a new Thief game.
That did not happen.
Did not happen.
Yeah, it's kind of taking a bit of a stretch there.
Right. Two, Bethesda reveals an original new IP.
There we go.
Jared gets a point.
Yay! Yeah, hooray
Starfield.
Me.
Starfield.
Okay.
Yep. Just Dance 2019 finally leaves behind the Wii.
I knew it was on the edge of a knife. When I came in here that day, I was like, I'm either going to say it's absolutely going to be on Wii, or I'm going to say this is the year that they leave. And I made the wrong and the smart money was on the Wii. I should have gone with it because that's...
What a fun prediction. I love that. That might be my favorite of the predictions.
I should have gone with it.
You know, hindsight's 2020.
That poor sad Christmas tree dancing on the Just Dance stage. Terrible. I felt so bad for him.
At the Square conference, they mentioned the 40th anniversary of Space Invaders.
Did not get brought up.
Surprising. I thought that was another one. I'm like, that makes sense. That makes sense. Of course you want to talk about
that. I really thought they'd say something and show just a logo for, hey, Space Invaders exists. And
that's y'all were crazy.
Yeah. Well, you were right. You were right. But then again,
well, that's why you run away and win this so easily, huh? See how your predictions do.
If they had vomited earthworms from their ears during that conference, though, I honestly wouldn't have been surprised. So I mean.
Weird. Child of Light on Switch announced. Nope.
Didn't. And that one did surprise me. I thought that was going to happen for sure.
My predictions. Kingdom Hearts 3 release date revealed for November. And they'll hit the date. Nope. Splinter Cell is happening. More open world than people want with a lot of complaints about it. Nope.
All right.
Tony Hawk Skate at EA.
Nope. The servers were turned on. Why?
Why? A Guardians of the Galaxy game announced at one of the third parties. Nope. Doom 2 set for 2019. I need to clarify. Right. I don't know. Yeah. Does it have a 2019?
It does not have a release date yet.
But it is. It exists.
It exists.
So
it does not have a release date.
I don't know. That's a half.
Doom Eternal.
Yeah. Doom Eternal. Had that really cool thing where it's like two, but then it comes out and says Eternal right there. I was very excited. I was watching that in the IGN War Room. And it was adorable watching Ryan McCaffrey in that moment.
Forgot about it.
Yeah. Well, I love Doom so much. So what do you think? What are we doing about that one? I mean,
I think that's a half.
That's a half point? What do you think, Greg?
I it's not that Doom 2 is announced and set for 2019. It's Doom 2 set for 2019. Is what he wrote.
That's what he wrote.
What did you really say? Do you remember?
Doom 2 is a 2020 game.
Really?
No. No, I don't.
Oh, you think it's 2019?
Yeah, I think it's 2019.
Yeah. I say I get half on this.
How about a third?
No, there's no. Yeah, that makes no sense. Yeah.
0.34.
To me, I look at this, there's two statements about it. Doom 2, set for 2019.
Well, you don't get two guesses, so that'd be a chance. It's like 2 points there. I don't know.
They announced Doom 2.
They did.
I don't even know. That,
I'm trying to find if we, much like we have a commissioner for the Kinda Funny World Championship,
yeah.
I feel like there's a commissioner who could step in here.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I don't want to give you any points.
I understand.
But that. I feel we need to appeal to a higher power.
Who are we reaching out to?
The man who can solve this problem for us.
All right.
The problem, too, is that what he wrote is not what I said.
Hey, Pete Hines from Bethesda. It's Greg Miller. How are you?
I'm good, Greg. How are you?
Good. You're on the Kind of Funny Games cast with Tim Geddes and Jared Petty as well.
Hi, boys.
Hi. Hey, what's up, Pete?
So now, this is going to sound like I'm fishing for a release date. I am not. We are grading our predictions, and we feel like you're the only man competent enough to award or disaward points here. Tim's prediction was Doom 2 is set for 2019. To my knowledge...
Okay. The right goddamn name.
Well, no, that's what he said back then. We didn't know Doom Eternal. We didn't know, all right? But you understand the next Doom, all right?
Yes.
He says Doom 2 set for 2019. To my knowledge, you have not put any window on it, have you?
Correct. We have not.
So then the question becomes, does Tim get half a point for saying that there'd be a new Doom at this thing, at your conference?
I don't know. What's the deadline for giving out points?
Right now. We're doing it all live. Everybody's watching.
Yeah, I think he gets a point.
All right, fine. No, half a point. Half a point. Yeah, okay.
Half a point.
All right, yeah. Cool. All right, thank you.
That's it?
That was it. We love you. Yeah. You just got to check in, you know. All right. What's up? No problem. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye. I defer to the commissioner. Definitely. He is a nice man. He's a really friendly dude.
Hey, so we have a debate over this Nintendo prediction.
Just calling back for
it. In terms of like getting points and stuff, like dividing a point up, I feel like that is the bare minimum of splitting a point up.
Okay.
I don't know. I just feel like next year I'm going to have to strategize and make a bunch of two-part predictions.
That's what, yeah, you got to.
A bunch
you
of
got
half
to.
Points now.
Xbox.
Yeah.
Yeah, Xbox.
All right. Greg, so what's the score right now?
It's Jared with one, me with half.
Okay, let's stop now.
We're good.
We're done. We're
Greg was zero. Greg right now. Rocksteady debuts new game on Xbox stage. It is not Superman. No release date or window.
Fuck me running, right? Can you believe this?
Did not.
Can you fucking believe this, Rocksteady? You jokers!
What were they thinking? Something. Motherfuckers.
Game's not ready. They're going to take their time. They're going to make something awesome.
Two. A new partnership with From Software. New Xbox exclusive Armored Core announced.
All right. That'd be amazing, but... That was not enough.
I forget. Did I get half a point? Or no, they did. That wasn't there. Sorry, my apologies. I walk it back.
Three, Capcom reveals a new Dead Rising. It's a reboot with a female protagonist.
Did not happen.
I swang for the fences here, guys. I could have played it safe.
No, you went. You were playing better to dream. Better
exactly.
to aim high.
Are we here to have fun and make a cool show? Or are exactly. we supposed to be knowledgeable?
Who Walking Dead final season trailer show.
Fuck me. Stupid PC gaming conference got that one.
It did. Trailer for Playdead's next game. Jared's predictions. Crimson Skies sequel or spinoff set in space.
Yeah, that was just wishful thinking. Yeah. That was a dream.
Two, release date announced for Ori and the Will of the Wisps.
Okay, so we got a window, right? If I remember correctly. So
what was it?
It was, I believe, a 2019 window, if I remember correctly. I haven't looked at it in a while, but we did get
spring
2019. There was a date. So this might
be
like a half.
I'm looking at my notes.
See, this sounds like a half.
Yeah, you sounds got 2019. Like Ori and the Will of the Wisps, exclusive Microsoft Studios, 2019.
Okay, that's like a half point that's if the other one was. I mean, we can call Pete and ask him if you want. But.
No, well, I think that one counts. I find it fascinating just how different people's brains work. Because for the half points on something like this, I would put point, five.
Yeah.
And Tim's writing the fraction 1/2.
1/2.
Which I find very fascinating.
I also like it because he's doing the horizontal line, whereupon I would definitely use the slash.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I don't give a fuck.
We're not judging. We're just laughing. Having some fun.
What if you just drew little like half circles, like just little graphs of all of them?
Trailer for Age of Empires shown.
That did not happen.
Mm-mm.
That was a reach, and I appreciate it. Yeah, we were really blown away when you did
what?
That.
No, why not?
Microsoft will rededicate themselves to indies with a streamlined creation and submission system highlighted by an Xbox-exclusive GeoWars.
That did not happen.
That
That did not occur at all.
New Viva Pinata announced.
Dare to dream.
Womp, womp.
Dare to dream.
And now here we go. Tim Getty's predictions.
All right, here we go. Is this where you're going to blow us away?
Crackdown 3 release date available within a week of E3 and launches on Game Pass.
Whoops.
Nope.
That didn't happen.
But next now, hold on. That's a three-part thing. It's going to launch on Game Pass, confirmed.
Yeah, but that's not a prediction.
He's way too far on that one.
Next mainline Halo game announced, not called Halo 6.
All right, there we go.
Halo Infinite, motherfucker.
Nice.
There will be a focus on Master Chief Collection, adding Battle Royale mode.
Did not happen.
Did not. Cyberpunk 2077 trailer will have gameplay, but no HUD. Okay. Nope. So we're going to miss on that one. Either Microsoft, and like, so that's the thing is there, like, I don't feel like I deserve a point for the Cyberpunk trailer being there.
No. That's definitely about Microsoft.
Press conference. Yeah, that had to happen at the Microsoft press conference. Yeah.
But it did.
Well, yeah, but did it show?
But there was no gameplay in the trailer.
Right. Yeah, that's what I meant.
Either Microsoft appears in Nintendo's presentation or Nintendo in Microsoft's. Did not happen.
No. They waited a little bit. They waited until that Minecraft
thing.
Yeah, God damn it.
2 weeks later.
Waited a little bit.
Wait, no, you should totally get half a point for the foot number four.
Wait, for what?
Cyberpunk has a trailer. We'll have gameplay, no HUD. Cyberpunk had a trailer.
We'll have gameplay. Yeah, no. I think that's reaching a little bit.
Wait, okay, hold on.
For number four on Xbox.
I can see an argument that I should get half a point because it was at Xbox.
Yeah, they had a trailer at Xbox.
At PlayStation.
A third of point.
Yeah,
I think of it as the way you are predicting what's going to happen at the Xbox conference. You said there'll be a Cyberpunk 2077 trailer. Then you're like, it'll have gameplay, no HUD.
So that's a third of a point. That's not a half a point.
I personally feel that it's two. It's a half because there'll be a trailer. The trailer itself will have gameplay, no HUD.
Do you think that if Tim had gotten the gameplay but no HUD, that he'd be arguing?
Good point. You're right. No, give yourself, 0.33.
Well, no. But see, this is where him putting these words are not my words. I said the gameplay may not have a HUD. It wasn't a will not have HUD.
Did you?
I did. I for sure did.
Okay.
Not that I care.
So give yourself half a point.
Half a point then. All right, let's give him a half a point. All right.
PlayStation time.
Here we go.
Greg Miller. Conference ends with the Horizon sequel tease.
All right, what is our score right now, by the way?
Jared at 1.5. Me at 2.
Greg at 0.
Okay. Continuing with Greg. Last of Us 2 demo shown. Whoever's playing is as Ellie or her mother, and at E3 it's confirmed that it swaps between the two, 70% Ellie, 30% her mother. That's a half point.
Okay, I'll take it on the board.
We did, however, have Ellie kissing people and then stabbing them in the throat.
Not that person.
Not the same person, yeah.
Monster Hunter World Expansion gets a trailer.
Damn. At PlayStation?
Yeah, not
that didn't happen at PlayStation.
Yeah, at Sony or at Square. PSVR is alive and well and kept to the pre-show. No mention at all by anyone about PSVR during the actual conference.
Now, this one's a good debate.
Yeah, it is.
Because here's what happened, and I'll stay, I'm going to lose clearly this year. Doesn't matter. What I'll say is that 20 SE, I'm sorry, I'll never remember your real name. That's how you're introduced to me. Gave me half a point here. No, gave me the full point because this year the pre-show in quotes was that daily thing starting on Wednesday with the blog. And I do think personally that it did take the press in the pre-show. We didn't know at the time there wasn't going to be a pre-show that this was going to sub in for it. Personally, I think I deserve a point there. But PlayStation VR is alive and well. It was kept to the pre-show. There was no mention by anybody.
My only problem with that is that I think you were assuming that... I think it's a half point because I think you were assuming there's a traditional pre-show.
I was. That was correct.
And that didn't happen at all. So that's like something not showing up at the press conference. So I think that's like a half point myself.
I can see an argument for a full point because I feel like that makes sense. The only argument I have against it to bring it down to half would be that... It was mentioned in the actual conference.
You're right. I'm looking. Trevor Saves the Universe. I forgot all about that. There was a PlayStation VR package there. Yeah. So half point me.
Hey, yeah,
got a half point there.
I'm half a man.
Half the man you used to be.
Full champ, though, Kevin.
Proper Until Dawn sequel announced. Not this year. Maybe next time. Jared's PlayStation predictions.
Uh-oh.
New Borderlands game.
Whoop, that didn't happen.
Resident Evil 2 remake trailer.
Yeah, that's a full point right there.
That full motherfucking
point. That's right.
Point.
Dare to believe.
PlayStation All-Stars Racer announced.
That did not happen.
PSN name changes announced.
That did not happen.
New Loco Roco announced.
That did not happen.
Tim Getty's prediction. Kojima plays Death Stranding on stage. That did not happen.
That's a good prediction, though.
Number two, Devil May Cry 5, PlayStation console exclusive, at least. That did not fucking happen. Damn it. We will see the new Bluepoint remake, Shadow of the Colossus type of remake. Nope.
Nope.
An Activision mascot section with a new Crash game announced. Nope. Siphon Filter announced. Nope.
But again, dare to believe.
Dare that to was fucking a, believe, that was a good man.
Choice. You know, we got to hope. We got to hope for the hype. We got to hype
for the hype. Hype for the hope, man. It's the only way I know. And finally, it's Nintendo predictions.
Okay, where are we at now for people at home? We're trying to keep up.
Greg Miller's at one. Jared is at two. I am at, nope, Jared's at 2.5. I am at 2.
Oh, man. This. I'm daring to hope now. I'm daring to hope.
Greg Miller. Killer Queen coming to Switch.
Nice.
Boom.
Thanks, Kev. I'm the champ.
That was some good detective work.
Thank you.
Smash Bros. Dated for this winter. Not the same day as the online service. Not even a solid 2018.
I'll leave it up to you guys how many points I get there.
That last part to me brings it to...
Sure, I lose points for sure.
Give him 2/3. I like the half.
I like half.
Or I mean, well, 2/3...
I feel
he deserves 2/3 for that.
Okay, let's repeat it.
Because he got a lot of stuff right there. Let's hear. Smash Bros. Dated for this winter, not the same day as the online service, not even a solid 2018.
Okay, 2/3. I agree. Yeah. You're right. You're right.
He might even deserve 3/4.
Nintendo announces a dumb partnership with another company.
I can't believe they fucked me and put it out the next week.
That's what was it?
Disney and Nintendo partner to bring competitive gaming to the Disney Channel. Fuck you guys. You couldn't say that during the direct. You had to wait the week after E3 to fucking shit out a stupid weird thing.
Fortnite on Switch officially announced.
Yeah, there we go. There we go.
Animal Crossing Switch announced for Switch for 2019. Animal Crossing Pocket Camp will get new content to promote it and tide you over.
Nope. Greg scored real well on this game.
Greg's final, Greg just, Greg's what's final score game? Is... 3 2/3.
Surge.
So 3.66.
Really, yeah. Surge there. Look at that.
Coming on strong.
Jared.
Yeah.
The largest launch Smash Bros. Roster, and a rabbit is in the game.
Half a point.
Man, I should have just stuck with largest roster.
New Rhythm Heaven game announced.
Didn't happen.
An Atlas collaboration announced.
That did happen, didn't it? Didn't they talk about... Oh, I don't remember now. Didn't they bring
I don't
bring
think
up,
so.
They talk about one of the... Oh, crap. I don't remember. They talk about an Atlas game in that conference?
I don't think so.
I could check.
Check it out.
There was the Daemon Machina thing.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Sorry. I wasn't prepared.
That's all right.
Here we go. No? Where the fuck's... Oh, Nintendo's last. Why am I going backwards? Honestly, I'm so stupid, guys.
We're all very tired.
I'm a goonie stoop. Yeah, Daemon X Machina, Xenoblade Chronicles 2, Pokemon Let's Go, Super Mario Party, Fire Emblem Three Houses, Fortnite, Overcooked 2, Killer Queen Black, Hollow Knight, Octopath Traveler, Smash Brothers.
Yep, nothing. All right.
Katamari game for Switch?
Nope.
Mario Odyssey DLC?
Nope. How did that not happen?
I don't know. And man, here I just get fucking.
Wait, hold on. Yeah, what's Jared's final?
Jared's final thing is 3.
Mere three.
All right, for me, Smash Bros. On Switch will get a large portion of the roster shown, being returning Wii U characters, with at least 3 new characters at E3. One being Ridley, and a Western third-party character, released the same day as Switch Online in September. I say a third. Just because I got fucking Ridley.
I feel like Ridley's a solid call.
I feel like...
Yeah, it is, but I have so much specific shit that I got wrong.
I do think you get a third of a point there for Ridley, though. That was good. That was really good. Greg, you good with that?
Yeah.
I love the... I don't remember when you said it, but you're just like, shut up, you got your stupid dinosaur. Yeah.
Well, you're like, yeah, I don't like this Smash Brothers. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong?
The December.
The present, yeah. No, I'm Krabby, the game I've waited my entire life for that has everything I love in it. So coming in December. I'm
going to show you a bunch of this
I got to wait 3 months more.
The problem of it coming out in December means I really think it might be a 2019 game.
Mm-hmm.
Like last time that it was supposed to be December, it got fucking pushed to March.
It's weird you out that Link didn't have the hook shot.
No, I'm totally cool with that, especially because we got Young Link who does.
Yeah.
We will see Metroid Prime 4. It's made by Bandai Namco and it's not called Metroid Prime 4.
Whoops.
Star Fox Grand Prix is real and the best looking Switch game graphically.
Whoops.
Nope. Womp womp.
And here's one that I fucking thought that I was gonna nail. Yoshi Games given a final name and an August release date, and Fire Emblem shown for December.
What Yoshi game are you talking about, my friend?
Yoshi.
I know. Being facetious. Like the one we all expected to see, yes.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I know. And then New Super Mario Bros. U with Luigi U, or 3D World ported to Switch for October.
My facetiousness is failing terribly.
So my final score is 2 1/3.
2 1/3. So the final, the victor.
The victor is Greg Miller.
And still champion.
3.66.
Couldn't be done. How could the Sony pony blow all of the PlayStation predictions, but still come away a champion? I'll tell you how, ladies and gentlemen, because Nick Scarpino is a coward. He sucks, and having to roll in the mud with him every day has taught me never give up. Never surrender. Cheat in Nintendo. Win everything. Andy, go fuck yourself. I'm the champ.
I love this Attitude Era transformation that takes place.
We were trying to find my sunglasses. I thought they were on that table over there. I thought I left the white ones in here. Kevin, start checking your phone, and Joey, look harder.
How is that? You came. You surged there at the end. Surged the Nintendo conference.
I thought I had it. I thought for sure I'd blown it. I hadn't looked ahead to see how it was going to pan out.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Because I know when 2020 SE was grading them, I was not doing
that
well.
That leak won this for you.
Yeah.
That fucking
to be clear, you're talking the
Killer Queen.
Yeah. I was gonna make that prediction somewhere, period. Like
Killer Queen?
Yeah, I talked about it in the thing. I did actually talk about the thing.
Don't believe you one bit. Fortnite, absolutely. That's a
Killer Queen.
That's
right.
Killer fucking Queen.
Killer Queen, great game.
Party mode coming soon.
When? Who knows? Nobody knows what Andy does here. Oh, next week.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Kinda Funny Games cast. Thank you very much for joining us. We will be back next week. It's going to be a good one next week. There's a topic that a Patreon supporter sent us that we're going to talk about.
Oh, really?
It's a good one.
Ooh.
How Until long? Then. That's the topic. Just how long. Answer however you want.
Oh, man. Until next week, I love you.
But now we're going to do the post show. If you didn't know, you could support us on Patreon and watch us do post shows. You could watch them either live, like so many people are about to, or watch them later on Patreon when we put up the big video early. Support us on Patreon.
Lots of support for the champ here in the chat.
Champ.
Look at that.
People, they understand. They respect.